our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
Folks, when you and I will hold on to the truth, the way that we would hold on to our most valuable possession in life, the truth will mold us, and it will shape us, and it will change us. And if we will allow it, it will shine forth in our lives as well.
Does the Bible have the power to change our lives? Does hearing truth alter us in any way? God's Word, the Bible, describes itself as quick or living. But can embracing this book really allow us to be molded into something God desires us to be? Can the Bible change our lives?
In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, we had just finished reading where John wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And he's writing to a man named Gaius, and he calls him beloved, well-beloved in verse 1. And so we were talking about how it is that it is okay for us, and it is good for us, to pray that our brethren will prosper financially and be in good health as long as their soul does prosper. And that's what he says, "even as thy soul prospereth." We ought to pray for that, but that's not to be our main focus. We ought to love our souls, of course, much more than our money. You remember the rich young ruler, as recorded in Mark chapter 10. He had great wealth, but he wasn't willing to give up his wealth in order to follow Christ. That's not what's going on right here. John says that Gaius has already been tested, and so he's shown, as we continue to study, we'll see this. He's shown that he's been faithful in the finances that he has. And so he prays for him to prosper both financially and to be in good health. You remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14 and verse 33? It says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." So we're not talking about John saying, "Boy, we sure hope that you can make roots here on the earth and you'll have the biggest house on the block." We're not saying that, because obviously John would talk many times and would hear Christ talk many times about the importance of the next life and the unimportance, really, of this life as far as in relationship to heaven. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." See, Gaius was already covering this one. He was already trusting God. He was already loving God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind and his strength. And so, for John to pray that Gaius would prosper even as his soul prosper was to ask the very best for him. Remember, Jesus had said in Matthew 6:19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal." He says, "But rather lay for yourselves up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we're just giving a little bit of a warning here. Someone says, "Well, Philip's saying that we should pray that we all get a lot of money." That's not what I'm saying at all. Paul would tell Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it is a tragic thing when brethren are more concerned about their treasures here on this earth than they are their treasures in heaven. Many Christians become unfruitful due to the cares of this world. But I can see from what we're studying here in 3 John that Gaius was a man who was putting things first. He is an example to us because his spiritual prosperity had outdistanced his material wealth. Gaius was a man who knew how to seek first the kingdom of God, and so John is praying for him. And then he says in verse 3, "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You see, the brethren had gotten word to John that Gaius was prospering spiritually. What was John's reaction? He says, "I rejoiced greatly." The Greek verb is when they came, when brethren came and testified. That is, they came and bear witness. That, of course, is that present tense also. it had taken place more than once. In fact, it's almost as if John is saying, I rejoiced when they told me of your faithfulness, and they are still coming, and they are still telling me about your faithfulness and how you are helping the brethren. You know, at different times, some of the traveling preachers coming from different areas, they would come to Gaius, and they would come from his house, and then they would report back to John about what Gaius had done for them. And so John, after hearing the report of Gaius, says, good job. You keep it up. Keep walking in the truth. You see, John was full of joy that Gaius was walking in the truth. Gaius held to the truth as it was his greatest possession. It was because of what he had learned, he had embraced it, and he was letting it shine forth in his life. And folks, when you and I will hold on to the truth, the way that we would hold on to our most valuable possession in life, the truth will mold us, and it will shape us, and it will change us. And if we will allow it, it will shine forth in our lives as well. It is not simply enough to just say, oh, you know, I love God. No, no, that sounds good. Everyone loves God, right? I mean, except for the hardened atheist. And I mean, everyone says, oh, yeah, I love God. But it's not enough to just simply say, I love God. We have to show our love for God by doing what he says to do. James says it like this. Of course, he says, what does it profit, my brethren, in James chapter 2 and verse 14? Though man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Well, we can make the same argument for love. You can say, I love God all the time. You could say it, but it doesn't mean anything until you do what he has said to do. Now, Paul would say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Here's a good snapshot of what the Christian life really is to be. Faith working by love. Our faith, we have faith in Christ, which causes us to work and do the things that God says, and when we do these things, we are showing forth our love. It is faith which worketh by love. They all three go together. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 4, John said he had no greater joy than to hear that his children were walking in the truth. The reason for John's rejoicing was that his children were walking in the truth. It's interesting to me that four times in the first four verses of this epistle, the word truth is mentioned. That tells me something. John must have really wanted these people to know the truth, to love the truth and hold on to the truth. You and I must know the truth. You know, truth was not some abstract philosophical concept. It was real and it was objective, and truth was essential to salvation. I've heard for many years, well-intentioned, or I don't know if they were well-intentioned, I can't judge their intentions, but seemingly well-intentioned people say, well, we just cannot know truth for sure. We can't really know anything for sure. But that is completely foreign to the Word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and it shall set you free, or the truth shall make you free. Well, now, if you and I cannot know the truth, then there's no way that you and I can ever be freed from our sins. When a Christian will sometimes, you might hear him say, well, we can't really know anything for sure. you can rest assured that he doesn't know whether he's saved from his sins or not. But you and I can know the truth. Second John, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. So that tells me, not only did he know what truth was, the people he taught knew what the truth was because they could both recognize it and they could both walk in it. And so it says these children were walking in truth. Walking is a present tense verb. We've talked about this many, many times. That is, it is a continuous action. It is not simply this, hear the word of God, believe the word of God, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, be baptized, and then that's all you ever have to do. That's a one-time event, but in order for it to be a walking, a present tense walk, that means from that moment on, you continue to walk as God says for the rest of your life. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, John says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, or cleanseth us, from all sins. Well, we've already looked at this, but let's just look at it again. That is, if we walk, present tense, if we continue to walk in the light, as he continues to be in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continues to cleanse us. These are all present tense. We need to understand that walking is a present tense thing. Christian living, however, is more than just a Sunday stroll with Jesus. It's more than just walking with him on Sunday morning and forgetting all about it when Monday comes along. It is a daily walk. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him, notice the order it's placed. If a person will come after me, well, Jesus, what does he need to do? First, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We die daily with Christ. That's what it means to take up our cross. We die on a daily basis. And John was rejoicing in the knowledge that these brethren, he calls them the little children, were walking every day in accordance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even today, the same is true. To know that those who we have been instrumental in leading to the truth have been faithful all the way till now? Are you not encouraged when you see someone that you've helped to learn about the truth still walking in accordance to the truth? Well, that's what John is saying. He says, I'm so proud of you guys because I taught you the truth, you've known the truth, you've held on to the truth, and you're walking in the truth, and that's what we need to do every day of our lives as well.